You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, megawatt and megahertz megastars. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 165. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your Formation of Four, foraging for formulas and for forest berries.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Oh, I actually have a bizarre headline. We haven't done a bizarre headline. This is something that might happen, a question that might be asked in pub trivia.
Oh, okay.
Especially to our UK listeners. So, British electronics manufacturer Alba surveyed 2,000 UK adults about what their favorite feel-good songs were.
Okay.
What was number one?
Feel good song.
Feel good song.
Is this an old song?
It is an old song.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Late 70s.
Late 70s.
So I'll tell you what it's not.
Good. Hooked on a feeling.
Is it Abba?
Afternoon Delight.
I'll tell you what it's not. The songs people did mention, but not the top. Dancing Queen, so ABBA. Mm-hmm. Good Vibrations by Beach Boys. Mm-hmm. Uptown Girl by Billy Joel. Late 70s. British rock band.
Late 70s British rock band. Feel good. Feel good.
No, that's not really feel good.
Feel good. Obviously, if they asked, America would be totally different.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, too late for the Beatles. I don't know. I give up.
It is Queen's Don't Stop Me Now.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. I don't think we were going to guess that.
Yeah, because we would, you know, we associate Queen with Bohemian Rhapsody or Champagne, right. A little rocky. Yeah. But not, I mean, Don't Stop Me Now is a very good song, but that's not.
Yeah.
Comes top to mind.
Yeah. It's not the first Queen song I think that most Americans would think
of.
Yeah.
So that might show up in your pub trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's number one.
That's the song at the end of Shaun of the Dead, right?
Yes.
Where they've got the fight scene as choreographed to the music.
Maybe that mentioned that.
That must have brought it back into the popular consciousness. Like Wayne's World did for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right? Yeah. Right?
And without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pup Quiz Hot Shot. What I do is I have a random Trivial Pursuit card here from our giant box, and you guys have your barnyard buzzer, so buzz in with your answer. This one is from Trivial Pursuit Pop Culture 2.
Ooh,
okay.
Pop Culture 2.
Pop Culture Rum is better.
Here we go. Well, I don't know. These look hard. I don't know.
All right.
I'm just skimming them. All right. Blue Wedge for TV. What anchor toned down the intro to the evening news from "Hi, everybody" to "Hello, everyone"?
Okay, this isn't a decade, or this is a
It's just pop culture.
What toned down?
And it makes sense.
Oh,
hello everyone. Hi everyone to hello everyone.
Chris.
Dan Rather.
Incorrect. Colin.
Katie Couric.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Katie Couric. Because she, what show was she before she was a news anchor?
She was on the Today Show.
Today Show.
So maybe like, hi, maybe it was too.
She was just like, hi, everybody. Yeah. And they were just like, Katie.
Yeah. It's evening now.
Yeah. You're at about a 10. We're going to need you at about a 4.
Pink Wedge for Fad. What two grains account for the different colored halves of a Crispix. Cereal morsel.
Oh, we haven't talked about Crispix in forever.
Actually, I don't think we ever talked about
Crispix.
Crispix.
Can you still get Crispix?
I think you can.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good that one's corn.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say rice for the other one.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh.
It is one of the few gluten-free cereals, I believe.
Mm.
Always Chex as well.
Chex, They're just gritted.
Chex. Chex really came to dominate the hollow
woven.
Yeah.
Yes. The latticework.
Yes, latticework
market.
Hollow cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, what happened to Crispix?
I don't know.
Well, maybe it was just the shape. Maybe because like Crispix is like a hexagon.
Mm.
It was a weird shape. And Chex is square.
Yeah.
They have way more flavors, I think, of Chex.
Chex Mix.
They do. The Chex Mix. Oh, yeah. You can go get the Chex. We got some Chex Mix for our baby's birthday party. Yeah. Went over real good.
Yeah.
Bold. It was bold Chex Mix with Worcestershire sauce. Ooh. See, that was what Crispix failed to capitalize on, was the savory elements. Yeah.
All right. Crispix.
Wow. It's a real blast from the past, though.
Yeah. This is the first time we've mentioned Crispix on a trivia show. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yellow Wedge for Buzz. Which of Arnold Schwarzenegger's body parts did Maxim did Maxim speculate had been reduced in size in a procedure called genioplasty?
Genioplasty? Oh.
Dana.
His pecs?
Incorrect. Chris.
His chin.
Oh, I'm going to accept it. His jaw.
Oh, okay. All right.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't recall hearing this speculation. Huh.
All right. Purple Wedge for Music. What J.D. Salinger of Funk sported a tall platinum mohawk for a rare 2006 Grammys performance?
J.D. Salinger
of Funk.
Oh, because he's reclusive?
I'm going to guess George Clinton.
Incorrect.
Huh.
J.D.
Salinger.
I've never heard anyone call it J.D. Salinger of anything.
Funk. Yeah, so it must be somebody who's really... Bootsy Collins?
You're in that.
Okay.
I can't even...
You might just want to tell us.
Sly Stone.
Okay. Does he call himself... Who calls him the J.D.
Salinger
of Funk?
I think that the Trivial Pursuit card writer...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find that upsetting for some reason. Because maybe J.D. Salinger is the, whoever that, what was that?
The Sly Stone
of writing of or something. Like
That must have, some writer must have come up with that. And the Trivial Pursuit people
latched
on.
That's quite a limb to go out on if you're just writing that cold.
Sly Stone's always like, those people are phonies. They're so,
I'm talking about the Soche.
Yeah.
All right, next question. Green Wedge for Movies. What movie about a fictional form of amnesia reunited the stars of The Wedding Singer? Chris got first. Yes.
51st Dates.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a good movie.
I'm glad I knew it.
The number 50, First Dates, what happened on
the
date number 51.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I always
I see. Yeah.
All right, last question. S and G. Sports and Games. What Indy 500 winner prepares for each race by chugging a milk banana and Frosted Flakes smoothie he calls the Tiger?
We've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Well, so the smoothie is made out of milk, banana, and Frosted Flakes?
That sounds delicious.
That sounds disgusting.
What?
Well, it's so
greedy. You chug milk after the race, too, I think. It's gross.
Colin.
Dario Franchitti.
Incorrect.
Dale Earnhardt.
Here's a hint. I kind of don't know how to pronounce his name.
Oh, that's helpful.
That might be good. It helps narrow the
Okay.
Time.
I know Dale Earnhardt.
Well, he's NASCAR.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It is. Who is it? Helio.
Oh, Castro Neves?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he's a big name in IndyCar racing.
The Tiger.
Okay.
The Tiger.
All right.
It seems like a funny thing to do, to drink a bunch of milk before you go really fast in a car.
Yeah.
Around corners.
Yeah,
that's true.
Maybe that makes him go faster. He's like, I'm going to throw up. Go fast.
Yeah. You're going to use the potty.
Yeah.
All right. Good job, brains.
I do tend to drive faster when I have to go to the bathroom. So maybe that motivates him.
Yeah. I run faster when I have to go use the bathroom. Yeah. So today's show is number 165. And every fifth show, dear listeners, you might know that we do we don't have a topic. We don't have a theme. We just prepare our own quizzes and puzzles completely random, and it's a grab bag. So today is our All Quiz Bonanza number 33. All right, All Quiz. Who wants to go first?
Folks, this month has been a big month for Disney fans, because Disney's Aladdin was finally released on Blu-ray.
Oh my God, really? Has never been released on Blu-ray?
No, this is the big one. This is the diamond edition or whatever it is. It's got outtakes from Robin Williams.
Oh, as he's recording?
Doing a lot of impressions of other celebrities, you know, for the genie that did not make it into the film. So it's got a bunch of stuff.
I wonder which ones didn't make it into the film.
Some obscure references that the kids might not know.
I bet.
Yes.
In my memory, it's like there are a lot of impressions in that movie.
Yes.
That I did not get when I was a child. I had...
Right. Well, even Marks, deeper than that.
And there was Rodney Dangerfield, which I didn't know when I was a kid.
I think there's Curly the Stooge, I think, might be in there somewhere, I think. So anyway, this has nothing to do with that except for this. Aladdin came out in the year 1992, and it won two Oscars that year. One for Best Original Score and Best Original Song for A Whole New World. So here is a quiz about the 65th Annual Academy Awards, honoring films released in 1992.
That was a good year.
It was a good year. It was a good year.
The one videotape I had growing up was MTV Video Music Awards 1992.
Oh, really?
You
might have an advantage in this quiz then. So we'll
can
see
really
how you
place
did.
Myself.
That's
helped us before in the past, that one video you had.
The one video that Karen had of American television, MTV Video Music Awards 1992. So here is your first question. Barnyard buzzers at the ready.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I told you that A Whole New World won the Oscar for Best Original Song. There was another song from Aladdin that was nominated for Best Original Song that year. What was it? You guys get one chance as a group.
Was it with the genie?
The only one
can't
I can
ask
think of
is that question.
All I can think of is the Prince
what
Ali.
Is it?
Is
no,
the
okay.
Other song
I bet it's not Prince Ali. It's gonna be Friend Like Me.
Isn't that a song?
And it's not gonna be One Jump Ahead. I think it might be Friend Like Me.
I think so.
Because I remember
Karen, sit down.
At the Academy Awards, I think I might have this tape as well, because I remember this. Okay. At the Academy Awards, they actually had a live performance of Nell Carter as the genie.
What?
Performing, you know, because they used to have, like, performances of the song.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, of course, they had the Whole New World, which they were on a carpet, but this one was like...
That sounds bananas. I want to see that. Nell Carter as the genie.
I'm not making this up.
I am all in with whatever Karen wants to vote for.
I think it's A Friend Like Me. That was what I thought it was.
There's a lot on the line here. So.
Friend Like Me.
Yeah.
It is Friend Like Me, yes, also nominated for Best Original Song. All right, now we're going to step it up in difficulty. Mm-hmm. There was another film that year.
Okay.
And it also had two songs nominated for Best Original Song in the year 1992. Now, I'm not gonna hang you guys out to dry in this.
Okay.
Wow.
I will tell you this about this film.
All right.
Its soundtrack album became the best-selling soundtrack album of all time.
Is it The Bodyguard, Chris?
It is, in fact, The Bodyguard.
Yeah, I'm so glad I went through the proper channel.
Now.
Dana is too excited.
I thought we were helping each other.
I was just too excited. Wow!
Best-selling soundtrack album of all time. Now, can you tell me, without falling into the trap, what the two songs were that were nominated for Best Original Song? Karen, I don't know.
Well, Best Original Song, because, you would think the big Bodyguard song is actually a Dolly Parton song.
That's a cover, right? So that's not it.
I Will Always Love You. So it's...
Man, you know what?
That is the pitfall that you're not going to fall into. Okay.
I'm going to admit to you guys something here.
What's that?
I've never seen this movie.
You know, I've never seen it either. Now I kind of want to see it.
It's intense.
That's what I hear.
Intense.
Oh, I read the wiki. Yeah. I did the Karen thing. I read the Wikipedia.
Yeah, and you're what?
Sounds like something I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. It's full of intrigue and, possible murder. And, you know, it's...
So I was, 12 years old when this came out. I remember not being that impressed with the storytelling, but I liked the songs. I liked all the songs.
I think I just didn't know what was really
So I can tell you if you guys don't have guesses.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's not I Will Always Love You. That was a song written by...
Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Yes.
My life, na-na-na-na-na. Oh, my God. Don't you walk away from me. Don't you dare. I'm trying to...
You're on it.
If I don't have you...
I have nothing.
I have nothing.
Sorry, I'm singing the whole song.
Don't walk away from me. walk away from me.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Don't you
if
dare.
I don't have you.
Walk away from me.
Wow.
Everything except those crucial three words.
And there's one other song.
There is one other song. You will
No, that's
know
Waiting
it.
To Exhale.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Shoop is. Yeah. Is it also sung by Whitney Houston?
It is.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No.
You know, that was on the soundtrack to The Bodyguard, but that is not an original song.
Then I don't know.
Yeah, right. It is Run to You.
Oh, okay.
Run to You.
Yeah.
Wow.
I Have Nothing and Run to You, both nominated for Best
Original. She was on fire.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man, what was that one other song that got nominated?
It was from The Mambo Kings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. So, Al Pacino in this year became the sixth person ever to get nominations for both lead actor and best supporting actor in the same year.
Wow.
Playing Lieutenant Colonel Frank Slade and Ricky Roma.
Yes.
Name the two films.
Oh.
Colin and Karen
Neal. I'll do one. Scent of a Woman.
Scent of a Woman and Glengarry Glen Ross.
Indeed.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot of F-bombs in that movie.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch that movie.
Yeah.
It's a little too salty.
Susan Sarandon, 1992, was nominated for Best Actress for her role in this film based on a true story about a combination of oleic acid and erucic acid.
Oh, sorry.
Karen.
Lorenzo's Oil.
Lorenzo's Oil. Mm. Yes,
also
indeed.
Starring Nick Nolte.
Also starring Nick Nolte. I Want the Truth, You Can't Handle the Truth is from this Best Picture nominee, 1992. Colin.
A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men, yes. That was the easy question. I'm just throwing that one at you.
Okay.
All right. Again, 1992, very big year. Robert Downey Jr. got nominated for Best Actor for playing this actor.
Oh!
Dana.
Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin, yes, indeed. But Best Picture and Best Director both went to Mr. C. Eastwood for this film. Colin.
That is Unforgiven.
It is Unforgiven, yes. That was Clint Eastwood, by the way.
Yes.
They were trying to throw us off with the C Eastwood. It's a code.
Getting tougher. Mm-hmm. Howard's End, Scent of a Woman, Enchanted April, The Player, and A River Runs Through It were the nominees for this award. Karen.
Best Score?
No.
Oh, no.
Dana.
Cinematography?
No.
Oh.
It was
Colin.
Read them once again. What were the movies? It was
Howard's End.
Yes.
Scent of a Woman.
Yes.
Enchanted April.
Uh-huh.
The Player.
Okay.
And A River Runs Through It.
I'm going to guess adapted screenplay.
Yes, sir. Yeah, really best adapted screenplay. Yep.
Oh, that makes sense.
Boy George provided the title tune for this Best Original Screenplay winner. Karen.
Crying Game.
The Crying
Game. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Of course. Good one.
And of course, that was a cover of a previously existing song, was not nominated for Best Original Song, et cetera, et cetera.
Nice.
Best Makeup and Best Costume Design went to this Francis Ford Coppola directed romantic horror film. Colin.
Is that Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Only
quite
awards.
A won. Year yeah. for the cinema. Robin Williams was the star of another 1992 film nominated for Best Art Direction and Best Costume Design. This film also starred Michael Gambon. That's the second Dumbledore from Harry Potter. It also starred Joan Cusack, and it starred LL Cool J. Karen is already buzzed in.
Yeah, yeah.
Toys.
Yeah.
Toys.
That's
indeed.
A great.
That was a weird movie.
That was a weird movie.
Weird movie.
Yeah. That was Michael Gambon.
It was Michael Gambon.
And Debbie Mazar. Yeah.
Inspired heavily by the paintings of Magritte.
Yeah.
I was so excited for that movie because it was about toys. It had Robin Williams from Aladdin.
Yep.
I watched it and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is like nothing?
Yep.
This is not anything I'm interested
in. Weird,
however, I think if we were to watch it again, we'd probably like it more at this point.
Because
it's real.
Maybe. Finally, final question. This is the tough one. If somebody knows it, you win the
All
cookie.
Right,
yes. The winner of the Best Visual Effects Oscar for 1992, it beat out Alien 3. Which came out that year. It beat out Tim Burton's Batman Returns, which came out that year. The winner of Best Visual Effects was a dark fantasy comedy starring Meryl Streep, Goldie Hawn, and Bruce Willis. Everybody at the same time.
Death becomes her.
Death becomes her.
That was neat.
And it was cool. I must have had this tape because I can play in my head the montage when they go through, like, and the nominated are, and then they do the whole hole in the torso.
Yeah, right.
And
stuff.
1992.
Yeah.
A memorable year.
1992. So now we all know, if we get any of these movies at trivia, 1992.
Wow, Bodyguard.
Being able to tie Batman movies Returns, in clusters Alien, is really yeah, helpful.
That's true. Yep. Aladdin.
Yep.
All right. Good job.
Lorenzo's Oil.
Yeah.
Cool. So I have a quiz for you guys. It's a word quiz, another word quiz. One of my favorite. So in the English language, there are very few four-letter, three-syllable words.
Like
very short words, but with lots of talking involved. It takes three syllables to say them out loud.
Wait, four letters?
Four letters.
Unless you're Irish, in which case there's
syllables.
A lot of them. Yeah.
Yes. But in English.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing I speak English.
If you're Irish and you're speaking English.
There are so few of them, in fact. I made a quiz about them. This is not all of them, but this is almost all of them.
All right. Okay. Oh, I dig it.
Yeah.
I can't even think of one off the top.
It's like probably over half of them.
I trust that Dana will lead us to success.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. I'll lead you to success. And I'll give you a hint even.
She'll let you add us to success.
Yeah.
Is that not one of them?
No.
Is that not one of them?
No. Okay. They often begin with vowels, but not always.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
So I'll give you a definition, and the word that it is defining is the four-letter, three-syllable word.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is the brand name of a cookie first introduced on March 6th, 1912. Everybody.
Oreo. Oh. Everybody except Karen, apparently. Huh? I'm sorry.
I wasn't thinking it was Amos, and I was like, that's two syllables. Oreo.
Oreo.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
This opens a whole bunch of a library full of words now.
How about it's a term for oils, and it's commonly used to refer to like a variety of things, including margarine. Colin and Chris.
Oleo.
Chemical found in urine. Everyone.
Urea.
Yeah.
Exciting.
The ninth letter of the Greek alphabet.
Iota.
Yes, nice. Iota. A self-contained piece for one voice. Chris.
Aria.
An opera by Verdi. Chris.
Aida.
Yeah.
Aida. A region or part of a town. Karen.
Area.
A city in Hawaii. Chris.
Wait. No, I don't know.
Oahu.
Oahu. Yeah. And two U.S. states. Last one.
Ohio and Iowa. I was going to do it the other way around. Yeah. And that's it?
That's it.
Holy cow.
There's a few more, but they're just like words you would not know at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were all the common ones.
Wow. Yes. Ohio, Iowa, urea, oleo, olea.
Right.
Oreo.
Oreo. Oreo.
Yeah. I always joke about the Irish speaking English because, of course, you listen to enough Irish music, you hear so many extra syllables, like, you know, only like Dublin, that's in the town, you know, or like, you know, fiddler. You know, it becomes a three-syllable thing in the phrases of music.
Fiddling.
I actually heard somebody say that he had just seen a film.
Oh, I've heard that. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I saw somebody online. They were trying to say that ugly and lazy and busy were all three syllables. So they must be like ugly.
Ugly.
Lazy. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, I don't know about lazy.
Yeah.
Do they not know what a syllable is?
I don't know.
A good friend of mine, he has a story. When he was a kid in elementary school, they were going over syllables in class.
Yeah.
And the teacher was like, okay, you know, this is like second grade,
sure.
right? You know,
it's like really an introduction to the idea.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, they're doing the whole thing like, where, you know, you put your hand below your chin and, you know.
No, I don't know this thing. You're going to have to explain.
Okay.
No.
No,
I mean,
do
tell
it.
Us.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this was like, I remember learning, like, put your hand right below your chin.
Okay. And
we're
all doing it.
Say a word. So like, we'll say table.
Table.
Like the number of times your chin hits your hand,
really?
That's how they taught us to think of syllables.
It's not hitting my hand.
Right. Table. We got to move your hand close enough.
Yeah.
You gotta go along with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you've seen that.
So the teacher's asking the class, like, you know, give me some one-syllable words. You know, uh-huh. like, cat, you know, house. And then she's Whoa. Like, can you give me some two-syllable words? And so Jay, my friend, says, oh, yeah, orange. And yeah. the teacher, he's like,
what?
Orange. I guess you could say that's a two-syllable word. And Jay internally, he's like, what do you mean? You guess you could? And she said orange. Like O-R-N-G. Orange. Yeah.
Or like
yeah,
orange.
And he's like, no, lady. Like, that's your regional dialect there.
Regional dialect.
Yeah.
Orange.
Orange.
Yeah. Orange.
Yeah.
Orange.
Orange.
That was like my, did I ever tell you this story of my fourth grade teacher who, she like basically like had a whole chart of everybody who did the spelling tests. And every time you got 100 on the spelling test, you put a little star next to your name. And then she said, at the end of the year, whoever has the most stars will get a silver dollar. And I collected coins.
Ah.
And I was just like, oh man, God. I know what a silver dollar is. This is sweet. This is awesome. So we get all the way up to the end of the year. I have the most stars. And she gives me a Susan B. Anthony dollar.
Oh,
and I was just like, this is the worst injustice.
It is silver.
It is
worth a dollar.
It's shiny. And
silver colored.
Right. Yes,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I've been had.
This is just a dollar.
Is that the only reason why you did well?
Yeah, pretty.
You were like, I
mean,
for
the only reason, but like, it was definitely a motivating factor for a period of like 8 months through winter break.
Man.
When I was a kid, I think it was in first grade, quote, science class. And I think there was a test and the question was like, how many legs does a rabbit have? And by that time, all of the rabbits I've seen are like in cartoons. And I was like, oh, two.
Funny.
Sure.
Yeah. And then like, and they marked it wrong. No. And I went, I was like, no, have you seen all this? These are arms.
Right.
I've never seen a real rabbit before. I don't know what they look like. I was so angry. I was like, now I know it's four, but like.
Right. Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, when it's, you grow up.
Babs Bunny.
My Melody. You're like,
right.
She has two arms. Yeah, none of the cartoon rabbits are on.
Yeah, I mean, Bugs Bunny wears gloves, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Gloves on your feet.
Yeah.
Like, on socks.
Duh. Right. Those were feet. They'd be socks.
All right, let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages. Teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
He does wear, right? Bugs Bunny has clothes, doesn't he?
Yeah,
no,
he doesn't. He doesn't have shoes or socks.
He doesn't wear gloves.
Am I thinking of the Mickey Disney
Mouse.
Tradition?
Wait,
probably.
Are you really checking
this?
He just
has white paws, probably.
Yeah, yes.
He does.
What? No.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Bugs like Bunny's wearing gloves.
Well, can I see? I don't believe you. No, those are his paws.
No, it's like a band, right?
All right, we're gonna get to the heart of this one.
Figure this out.
Bugs Bunny gloves. Because there's. Hang on, sorry.
Well, how would you vary?
It has a ring around it.
There's a scene of him taking his glove off and using it as a glove slap.
Ah.
And here's a picture of him without a glove on. You can see his hand is the same color as his fur.
Oh, it's gray.
Interesting.
But his feet are white, but he's not wearing socks. His feet are just white. Yeah. Wow, I don't think I've ever noticed that. Hmm. Oh,
wait. If you'll permit me, rabbit hole going deeper and deeper.
This is not for the show, right?
I mean, it could be.
Yeah.
He does wear gloves, yes. What were we talking about again?
It's
your turn.
Okay.
I have a quiz for you guys called I Liked Their Earlier Stuff Better.
Mm. Oh my god, that sounds like such a you quiz!
Colin
quiz!
This was inspired, I inspired myself. I did a quiz for you guys several episodes back where I would name famous directors' movies in order of when they were made. And you'd tell me when you think you know who the director was, you'd buzz in.
Because it would take us a little while to get to the first, like, famous movie made by
right.
Something that he shot on a Super 8 in his backyard.
Right.
Yeah, okay, sure.
So this is a similar concept. This quiz is geared around famous recording artists, bands, and individual singers. I'm going to list for you in chronological order their albums that have been released.
Okay.
When you think you know who it is, when you recognize it, buzz in. Tell me who the recording artist or band is. And putting this one together, I should say, it was a little tricky just in that so many famous bands and artists will have a self-titled album or will have their name somewhere in...
Especially towards the beginning of their career.
Yep.
You could have just eliminated those.
I thought about doing that, Chris, I felt like I would be doing a disservice to you guys. So I have eliminated any artist that had a self-titled
album. Wow, awesome.
I assure you, these are all among the highest selling recording artists of all time. I'm sure you've heard of all of these people.
Okay.
So for example here, get your buzzers ready and start.
Is it an example or are we getting our buzzers ready?
This is an example.
Both.
Okay. Sure.
So get your buzzers ready. I'll give you an example here to start off.
Zero.
This is point zero, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll start naming albums. You buzz in when you think you know who the recording artist is.
I don't know why
is.
You're so hung up on
Well, it's one or the other, Karen. I guess in Good Job Brain, we have this sort of like competitive example, which is sort of a weird thing.
None of us like to lose, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
So here, if I were to name the albums, Surf and Safari.
Yeah.
Yes. Didn't think it was going to take too long.
The Beach Boys.
It is the Beach Boys. Yeah. Yes.
So they never had a album called The Beach Boys?
The Beach Boys did, in fact, later on. I used them as the example because they would have like Beach Boys Christmas and things like that.
Right. Yes.
But all of the other bands I'm giving you here do not have their name, either their name or the band name in
that
their
must
album.
Have been, that must have narrowed a lot of...
It did narrow a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, Beatles, right out. Rolling Stones, right out.
Fleetwood
Elton John, right out. Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just many, Mariah Carey, can't
even
do it.
John Denver. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
These are all studio albums, I should say. So I haven't included, live albums or soundtracks or bootlegs. Right.
Got
these are official studio albums.
All right.
Get your buzzers ready. Here we go. First artist. Mm. These are this artist's albums. Boy. October.
Wait.
Whoa.
Is this you two?
It is you two.
Oh, that's
wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Dana with
that
two.
That's right.
Boy.
I actually knew after one, and then when you said October, I was like, oh, what's that?
I bet for a lot of these, you guys might know it at one and then have to wait to clinch it. Right. And then a few more after that. Yeah. Boy, October, then War, and then The Unforgettable Fire. And then I think their biggest breakthrough album, The Joshua Tree. All right. Next recording artist. Reasonable Doubt. In My Lifetime, Volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
Volume 2. Hard Knock Life.
Oh.
Karen.
Jay-Z.
That is Jay-Z.
Once he said volume, I was like, ah.
I saw you guys kind of like,
volume and numbers.
Like yes.
Blueprint 1, Blueprint 2. Mm. Like, there's so many.
Volume 2, Hard Knock Life. You probably would have gotten it on the next one for sure.
Hova.
Volume 3, Life and Times of S. Carter.
Oh. Okay.
Escargot.
Next recording artist. Here are their albums. Who recorded 39 Smooth.
Hmm.
Kerplunk. Chris.
Green Day.
This is Green Day.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. The next album after Kerplunk was Dookie.
Oh, okay.
When I think they went really, really big.
I know this because of Colin's CD shelf at
his. Wait, really?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Well, I sit next to it, so I look at the CDs a lot.
And that's an order?
And the G's are sort of an eye.
That's so funny. That's right.
Oh, wow. That's funny. The first three sound like they're about poop.
You know, they were...
Wow. Yeah. It really tells a story.
Yeah.
And then Insomniac. We've reached peak Good Job Run. Yeah.
I mean, I had to say it.
Yeah.
We were all thinking it.
It's a good observation. Yeah. I was not thinking it until Dana said it. And I really admire her for saying it.
Thank you.
Next recording artist. Behind the Front. Bridging the Gap. Ella Funk. Karen.
That is Black Eyed Peas.
That is Black Eyed Peas.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
Ella Funk is the one I know.
Next recording artist. Whose albums are these? Got to Be There.
Oh, man.
Michael Jackson.
It is Michael Jackson. Correct.
Oh, himself. Not
as a Jackson solo artist. Right. Yeah, not the Jackson 5. Right. Yeah, their name was in a lot of their albums. All right, next recording artist. What artist or band released High Voltage, TNT?
Wow, these are all...
Dirty Deeds, Done Dirt Cheap, Let There Be Rock.
Oh, man.
Chris.
Is this AC/DC?
It is AC/DC.
Oh,
okay.
Oh my God.
So many, like, I'm like, I know this, but yeah.
I have to give a shout out to AC/DC for just really, all of their titles are just kind
very nice titles.
After Let There Be Rock was then Powerage, and then pretty sure you guys would have gotten by the next two albums, Highway to Hell, and then Back in Black.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, they had a lot of albums before their... I mean, I guess they had a lot of hits before, too.
They had a lot of albums, period. Yeah. All right. Next recording artist. Mm-hmm. Whose albums are Wednesday Morning, 3 a.m.? Chris.
Simon and Garfunkel.
That is Simon and Garfunkel, followed by Sounds of Silence.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Last one. Here we go.
All right.
What recording artist has released Music of the Sun?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
A Girl Like Me. Good Girl Gone Bad. Oh. Karen.
Rihanna.
That is Rihanna.
So familiar, yeah.
Then Rated R.
Yeah.
Loud and Talk That Talk. All right. Well, good job, cool, guys. Good job. Yeah. It is always amazing to look back at some of these artists and, like, at least in my mind, like, you know, the album that I just associate as like, oh, this is their landmark album is often, you know, 4 or 5 albums into a career.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job. That was fun.
That was fun to put together.
Wait, what was the title of your quiz again?
I liked the earlier stuff better.
Nice.
Such a hipster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, Box of Oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww. Yeah.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
They've done weird things. Cat and Jethro, Box of Oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the Box of Oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
All right, my turn in the last segment. And on my notes, I said this segment is a mystery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it about mystery or is a mystery? I said both.
You've had this stack of something sitting in front of you this whole entire time.
They're cards.
I'm like, what is going on here?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I'm gonna do a tarot reading.
There is.
That's what I thought she was going to do.
A live tarot reading.
Oh, the inverted devil.
That's right.
No, it's good. It's good. It's inverted.
It means opposite of devil. Yeah.
There is a card game, and loosely card game is just because it's in the form of cards. It's not like, you know, magic or anything, but it's a game, and it's called Dark Stories. This is the Real Crime Edition. So, do you guys remember growing up playing lateral thinking puzzles where it's like a storytelling where there's a simple statement and you have to ask, the other people have to ask yes or no questions to get the full story?
Sure.
So, an example would be, a man is found dead next to a puddle of water. What happened?
Right.
And you have to ask yes or no questions.
Yeah. You're like, was he stabbed by an ice cube or something? Like,
yeah, right. Exactly. Right. And then yes.
I mean, these are all kind of passed down. There's really one story and it can go so many ways, but usually it's believed to be one answer. And that one is like a man hung himself and he used a big ice cube to get to the road.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Playing those games can take a really long time, and also, like, sometimes they're, like, so outrageous. You're like, how would I get to the backstory? Turns out these people used to be in the army together. You know, it's
total Shaggy Dog story.
There's so much setting. Mm. And what I thought this is, the premise of this, this card game called Dark Stories, the Real Crime Edition, is it starts with a simple sentence, and then there is a story behind it, but they're not as elaborate. In this case, they're all true.
Okay.
They're all based on real murder stories, either ones that are really famous that you know and just got kind of boiled down to a simple statement or something in historical times or something that is just – but it's not that crazy.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's play a game
actually happened.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give – so just to get the flavor, I'm going to give you a practice one.
Okay.
This one is titled The Call of Home. Mm. Although she spent 2 years in a dirty hole, she was still smiling when she returned. And so the premise is, listeners, you ask yes or no questions to get to, like, who is she? Why was she in a hole? Why was she smiling? You know, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I'm just going to tell you the answer.
Okay.
The answer is, Leonardo da Vinci's most famous painting, the Mona Lisa, was kidnapped and hidden in a hole in a wall for 2 years.
Okay. So we need to get around the fact that it's not a person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
we're like, is it a person? Just say no.
Right.
And then we're like, okay.
So you ask very basic questions.
So here we go. Let's try. This is very experimental.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So I'm going to state a simple statement and ask me yes or no questions to hopefully unravel the mystery.
Okay.
And these are all real stories. So they might be famous.
Okay.
They might not be.
All right. I like this.
Okay. This card is called The Beauty Queen. Mm-hmm. Quote, if I want to be beautiful, someone must suffer, was her motto. And she committed several murders.
Okay. Was the blood part of her beauty regimen?
Yes, it is.
Was this blood coming from an animal?
Yes. Or as opposed to what, humans? Humans are animals.
Was this blood coming from a human?
Yes.
Okay.
Is the she a living person? Like, is the she like a human being person?
Yes.
Okay, right.
Mm-hmm. Is the she, this countess in, Europe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
there was part of vampire lore.
Yeah.
But it's a real
story.
It was
a real thing. So this woman thought she'd be more beautiful if she used blood
bathing,
of people.
Bathing in it, right?
To her it worked, but probably not to anybody else. She's a bad person.
Hmm.
The Hungarian Countess Elizabeth Báthory.
Of course.
Murdered 80 to 650. That's a really big range.
That's a big range.
But still, I mean, to start with 80 is already a lot. 80 to 650 girls and young women in the late 16th and early 17th century. She believed that she could maintain her youth and beauty by drinking and bathing the blood of her victims.
Yeah.
In 1611, as punishment for her misdeeds, she was given a life sentence, locked in a tower, where she died.
I thought she was going to turn into a bat and fly
away.
Yeah.
I remember the story from, I think, Hostel 2.
Yeah, I remember reading about this. I'm sure in the course of Good Job, Rainery at some point.
So I started that because that was a very well-known kind of thing. All right. Now we kind of get the flavor of things.
Okay. Okay.
It's called Exposing Leisure.
Mm-hmm.
And the statement
scandalous.
Is, the murderer's hobby was his undoing.
Exposing leisure. Okay.
Okay. So I want to take some kind of a clue from the title of this.
Was the murderer's hobby photography?
No. You guys jump in so specific.
The murderer's hobby taking his clothes off.
No.
But when we say murderer, are we talking about a human being killing other human beings?
Yes.
Okay.
Did this person kill more than three people?
No.
Good question. Did this person kill more than one person?
No.
Okay.
Mm. Okay.
Hobby. Did this murder take place in the last 50 years?
Correct. Yes.
Was this hobby physical activity?
Did it?
What do you mean? Sorry. What do you mean? Like, what's not physical?
So I would say
stamp collecting is not a physical activity.
Painting
rollerblading is a physical activity.
Not a physical activity.
Okay. Not a physical activity.
Did the murderer try to make it look like an accident related to the hobby?
No.
Okay.
Was the murderer's hobby some kind of collecting?
No.
Was this an outdoor hobby?
No. It can be done outdoors, but not really.
Okay.
It's not physical.
It's not like bird watching. No.
No.
Okay.
Was the hobby an artistic endeavor?
No.
Was the hobby a game?
Yes.
Was the hobby chess?
No.
Was it checkers?
No.
Okay. Was it...
It's an indoor game. You could play it outdoors, but generally you could also play it indoors. Was this hobby bowling?
No.
Is the hobby some kind of card game?
Oh.
No.
Do you play the hobby with balls? Are there balls?
Are there like game pieces of some kind?
No.
Is the hobby a solo game?
Yes.
Can you do this hobby purely mentally?
No, you cannot. Okay. You cannot.
It's a game played indoors. There's a board or a surface, but no like moving pieces.
There might not even be a board. You don't have to have a board.
You have to have a surface.
You have to have a specific
is
surface.
The surface is a specialty surface?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it billiards?
No.
No balls.
You said no balls. It's not like watching Jeopardy, is it? Is it watching a TV show?
No.
Okay.
Is the material, or is the surface made of paper?
Yes.
Is the hobby a word game?
Yes.
Oh, is this hobby crossword puzzles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did the murderer...
Good job figuring out the...
Did the murderer leave, like, a completed crossword at the scene of the crime?
Yes.
How did that kill
Did something about his handwriting or the way that the crossword was filled out?
You guys got it. That's exactly. Hey. That's basically what happened. Here, let me read the flavor text. In January 1981, the body of a 7-year-old girl kidnapped in a...
Oh, God.
Hall Noyce.
Whoa, it's got super dark.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're all dark. It's called dark stories.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Hall Neustadt, city in Germany, was discovered. She was found near the railway in an old trunk stuffed with newspapers. Several of the newspapers contained completed crossword puzzles. The only tracks left by the offender. What followed, interestingly enough, was the most comprehensive evaluation of manuscripts that the world of criminological investigations had ever seen under various pretenses. 551,198 signature specimens were collected from residents of the region and compared with those of the case.
Wow.
The immense effort was a success. After 10 months... the crossword killer was identified and arrested.
Wow.
So this guy was smart enough to fill out all these crossword puzzles, but...
not smart enough to not put them all in the suitcase.
Yeah, in the suitcase. Yeah.
What year was that?
1981.
Mm.
So there you go.
But you got to...
Good job.
I mean, you got to be thinking, like, who's going to do this? Who's going to sit here and... Figure out.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Right. Like, how would that even be possible? How it's possible.
Well, yeah, they have a team of people. They also went to go collect all the different handwritings of the local citizens. And it took them 10 months.
Wow.
I mean, that's still...
I wonder if that was really the only one that he did.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. A little bit of a
dark
lateral... dark, puzzly lateral thinking. So, yeah, I mean, it's not as... outlandish as like
the one
the albatross
the one yeah, I remember,
like,
the albatross.
Oh my god,
the one if he had seen the sawdust he wouldn't have killed himself. Okay, have you guys heard this one?
No.
Oh, is it the world's shortest guy?
Yes.
Oh my god, I can't believe like we know these.
It's so just ridiculously
tortured.
It was tortured.
Like the world's shortest guy, he has the Guinness record and he's the shortest, so he like has all these sponsorships or whatever.
He has a cane that's part of his act, and he wakes up one morning and he thinks he's grown because the cane seems shorter, but if he had seen the sawdust he would have known that someone had pranked him. And I'm like, that's your first thought is
it's also interesting the variations of her. So I heard is he's the world's shortest man, and the second shortest man is trying to like get the glory achievement. So shaved off an inch from this ruler that he carried all the time to measure himself.
I like it. Makes me feel better that these ones are based on real life.
Yeah.
There really is only one potential solution.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny.
It actually.
You're like, what?
Yeah. There's a lot about the short man. There, whether he. on rainy days, he can go up a higher level because of the elevator.
Right. Oh, he gets into the elevator and he presses this button, but then, and then he walks up the stairs, but then, you know, he goes all the way down to the ground floor. Why?
that one at least is a little more straightforward.
Yeah.
The story.
That's more of a riddle. That's more of a, you could figure this out. Yeah.
There you go. It's called Dark Stories.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot about 1992, a glorious year.
For the cinema.
Three syllable, four letter words and albums and some dark crimes. You can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Squarespace, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from the Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that, because you're already listening to a podcast.